part of what the believer should be doing in this world is worshiping God. And for some people, they aren't too sure what that means. I'd like us to turn to Psalm 95, which deals with the worship of the one true God. The Lord Jesus said in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That tells us that the worship of God is not mere form. It is not just uttering certain prayers or singing certain hymns. There are all kinds of religious organizations in the world that are doing all that, and God receives no worship whatsoever from them, for their hearts are not right with him. Worship must come from the inmost nature of a person's heart. Worship is paying divine honors to God, recognizing his true worth, celebrating his greatness as God. There are a great many people who this very Sunday have sung hymns with no worship at all. They've sung musical tones. They have repeated words, but there has been no heart worship for them. In Psalm 95, the psalmist begins by saying, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Yes, that's the heart of worship. It is singing praise to God. It is celebrating how great he is. It's getting our mind off of ourselves and our needs and our worries, and instead placing them upon the Lord of the universe and thinking of how great he is and of singing praise to him. This is real worship. In Psalm 101:1, you need not turn there, David says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. And there is real worship once again. It is singing to the Lord, recognizing him. It is not just recognizing how nice the music is and who all is singing. That's unimportant. What's important is singing to the Lord, concentrating attention upon him, celebrating how great he is. Psalm 104:33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. That was David's intention. As long as he had breath, he was going to sing God's praises. I can't wait to hear what he sounds like in glory. He was very impressive here in this world, but in glory, I'm sure he is greatly improved. Paul encourages us, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, that's very important to recognize, that what we are doing, we do for him. And the singing is done to render praise to his name, not just to make us feel good. In Colossians 3:16, he says, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, verse 2 of Psalm 95. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Now that means we are celebrating him. We are singing his praises, but we are doing it by coming before his presence. That is an integral part of all worship. We are not just sitting here in a building singing songs to one another. But in our hearts, we are instead lifting our attentions up before the Lord of the universe, singing praise to him, and he hears. Friends, the important thing about worship is not how well we sing in this realm, but the singing of praise to him, concentrating our attention upon him, that he may receive the praise and the honor and the celebration of his glory. That is what is important in worship. Our voices may not be very good from a musical standpoint. They may not sound too well to others. But that is unimportant, because God is looking at what is going on in the heart. And there are people who have beautiful voices and can sing magnificently, who sing for themselves, not for God. And He is not listening. But whether you have a good voice or not, you can sing to the Lord. And He does listen to those who celebrate His praise and sing for Him. In Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Yes, He is listening for that. He hears the heart that sings to Him and blesses His name from the heart. Paul says in Colossians 2:7 that we should be abounding with thanksgiving. Yes, not just in church, but all the time. We ought to be conscious of what He is doing for us, the blessings that He's bringing into our lives. And it should be a constant thing that we go about our work, and many things that come up cause us to say, "Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for this." We ought to be conscious of that and give Him His praise as the occasion arises. In verse 3, "For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods," false gods, that is. "He is the one true God, and all other deities upon the face of the earth are counterfeits. They are simply images. They are not truly God at all." In Psalm 48:1, the psalmist says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God." Indeed, He ought to be praised. He ought to be celebrated. And we need to do it from the heart, not just with the tongue. Psalm 145:3 says, "Great is the Lord. His greatness is unsearchable." Now, that is the truth that we need to ponder. He is so great that we cannot even imagine how great He is. And oh, we know theoretically. Now, we have heard tell that God is omnipresent, that is present everywhere. That is an awfully big space to fill. We don't often think about that. But He fills the entire universe. He is present everywhere, which means, friends, that He is present with us tonight. And we must be conscious of that. Remember that our thoughts and our praises are in His presence. Our songs are to Him, not to our neighbors. In Psalm 145:3, His greatness is unsearchable. If you hunted, if in your mind you went to the edge of the universe, you could not find where God ends, because He does not end anywhere. He is infinite. He is everything that exists. And we occupy a very small space in God. But He is conscious of all we do as well. In verse 4, "In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also." And that's a reminder that He holds in His hands the entire world. He permeates everything that is here. And the mighty hills, we look at the Appalachian Hills in this part of the country, and they're impressive. Out west, where the Rockies are, it's even more impressive. But all those He holds in the hollow of His hand. None of that is impressive to Him. He made it all. He can destroy it all, too, with one word. It exists simply by His permission. And when the end comes, He'll pronounce the word. And yes, the hills will be gone. The entire universe will collapse. He saw it begin because it was His will. He'll bring it to a consummation because it's His will. And only those people who are right with Him will go on to continue in the next life, praising Him, worshiping Him as He desires. In Psalm 71:16, the psalmist says, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God." That's a tremendous insight. If any believer is struggling along, trying to go in his own strength, he's going to run out of that. Doesn't matter how strong he is. He will exhaust his strength sometime. But the Lord never exhausts his strength. He has all the strength that all of us need, and we need to keep drawing upon that strength. Keep recognizing that his sustaining grace is what we need. We cannot serve him just in our strength. We will soon wear ourselves out. But we can serve in his strength. He will never wear out. He will always sustain his people. In Psalm 27:1, the psalmist says, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Ah, what assurance that gives us. It doesn't matter who our opponents are, who our enemies may be. They don't count because the Lord is our strength. He is the one who sustains us. Nothing can touch you as long as the Lord is holding you in the hollow of his hand. In verse 5, "The sea is his and he made it. His hands formed the dry land." Yes, the oceans are very impressive. When you stand at the shore and hear those breakers thundering in, you get the impression that there's tremendous power in that water. Yes, there is from our standpoint. But from God's standpoint, it is only a portion of his power. The ocean exists because of him. When we hear the thunder of the surf, we're hearing just a small manifestation of the infinite power that he possesses. In Psalm 33:7, the psalmist said, "He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses." Ah, yes, to think of the storehouses of the ocean depths that are tremendous, with tremendous power in that water. And we don't see it. But when it does manifest itself in floods and storms, we're terrified. But he holds all that in the power of his hand. In Psalm 77:19, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters." Yes, God is in all places in this world, including the ocean depths. Nothing is hidden from him, and his power sustains all that exists. In verse 6, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Yes, here's an invitation for all of us to worship God as he deserves, to kneel before him in heart and mind, not just in body. There are people in this world who are prostrating themselves before idols at this very moment. And it does no good, for the idols cannot hear. But we are assembled here in the presence of the true God, Lord of heaven and earth. And when we worship him in our hearts, he hears, he is listening, and he is pleased. How gracious of him to take notice of our worship. In Psalm 29:2, the psalmist says, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." That is a thought we can afford to ponder. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, we have a thing in modern life that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But it isn't. There are things that are beautiful intrinsically. They're fresh from the hand of God. One who has seen a flower unfold in the springtime and recognize the beauty of that shape recognizes a little bit of the handiwork of God. Those who see the snowflakes come down in winter recognize again the beauty of God's creation. And he does it by the billions in every snowstorm. He is a connoisseur of beauty. He produces it everywhere. And we see little examples of it. And we are astounded and impressed. But there is a standard of beauty that he has in his creation. And we should learn to recognize it. In his way of thinking, holiness is the most beautiful thing that exists. Friends, we don't usually think that way. We think of works of art or the loveliness of nature as being beauty. But God looks upon the heart of man, and he sees true beauty, beauty that is everlasting, because it's conformity with his holiness. And that is what he is looking for. Countless people right now, friends, are sitting in churches And they're looking at a magnificent sanctuary. Great stone, magnificent arches, beautiful music. They're surrounded with beauty. And God is not in all their thoughts. How sad to mistake human endeavor for the beauty that God prizes. The beauty of worship in the heart. In Psalm 99:5, the psalmist says, "Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy." Yes, that is our exercise of beauty, to participate in the worship of the true God, to celebrate how great he is, to honor him as he deserves. In verse 7, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand." Now here is an image that he gives for true worship. The worship is done by people who are submissive to his will, who follow the Good Shepherd. And we must remember that he has a different standard of that beauty than we do. We think of beauty being an adornment, beautification, but no, it isn't. He looks at a flock of obedient sheep and he sees something that is beautiful, beautiful in heart and spirit. And he is watching for those who indeed walk with the shepherd and follow closely as the sheep should. And we don't think of beauty that way. We have a different standard for it. But we must learn to think the way he does, that there is beauty in holiness. There is beauty in the worship of God. There is beauty in the assembly of God's people to sing his praises and render heart worship to him. God prizes this as a beautiful sight, a beautiful thing. And we tend to take it for granted, but he does not. When he says in verse 7 that we are the sheep of his hand, that reminds us of what the Lord Jesus said, that he is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. John 10:11. The good shepherd of sheep. And we look at pictures of the shepherd and the sheep, and oftentimes artists have worked diligently to portray that loving relationship between the shepherd and the flock. But they all fail. It is a scene that can only be seen in heaven. For Christ is the true shepherd, and the flock is not yet fully gathered. But he is the one who cares for his sheep in a supernatural way, who guides them to the living waters, the streams that can never run dry, who provides for them a fold that is eternal, a place where they may be with him. And that is incredible. For a normal shepherd, a shepherd has a flock of sheep, but they stay in the fold and he lives in a house. And they want it that way. But God isn't that kind of a shepherd. He invites his sheep home to enter his house, to dwell with him forever. And that's revolutionary. That's a different dimension of thought concerning the shepherd and the sheep. And we must learn to think the way he does about that. He prizes the sheep enough to bring them home and give them a place in his home and take care of them, not just for a few years, but for all eternity. That is a beautiful thought. And the consummation of that is going to be beautiful when we see the assembled flock and the people of God, the saints of all ages, gathered together in his presence. And recognize him as the true shepherd. That will be a beautiful sight. Friends, we must learn how to lift our affections up to the things of God and to recognize the true beauty of his revelation and this precious portrait in Scripture of the beauty of the Lord, the Good Shepherd. In verse 8, "Harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. The psalm ends with a warning. Harden not your heart. And he cites the wilderness wanderings, where the Israelites hardened their heart against the great shepherd, and went astray. And for 40 years they wandered in the desert, unable to enter the promised land. Friends, that image is there in Scripture for our admonition. We shouldn't be wandering in the desert, in barren lands, with no shepherd. We should instead be following the Good Shepherd, humbly, seeking his pathway, turning the pages of his word, aligning our thinking with his thinking, and recognizing how great the shepherd is, to pay attention to every sheep, to watch each one, to guide the steps of each one, and bring them to his presence in that fold that he's preparing for us. Friends, the worship of God is more than singing songs, more than assembling together and reciting the holy sacred scriptures. It's a heart worship. It's a worship that comes from within, when you recognize how great he is, how marvelous his grace is, how wonderful his leading of his people, and sing from the heart praises to the God of the universe, who holds us all in the hollow of his hand, the God who loved us enough to send his Son to die, that we might share all eternity with him. We need to worship God. We need in our hearts to celebrate him because of who he is and what he has done and what he has promised to do for us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, have you worshiped God this day? Have you celebrated in your heart how great he is and what a wonderful God he is? Now is a good time to do it. To thank him and praise him from within your deepest, inmost being for all that he has done, all that he has promised to do, all that he shall accomplish in our hearts and lives. O Lord, how we praise thee, how we celebrate thy greatness, how we thank thee for all that thou art and all that thou hast done for us. Give us that consciousness of thee, O Lord, that we may walk with thee in this world, and all the time think of how great thou art, and sing thy praises within, and celebrate in even the language of thy holy word the greatness of thy being. Help us, Lord, as thy flock, to walk with thee, to follow close to thee as our shepherd, and to fasten our attention upon how great thou art, and that fold that thou hast prepared for us and art leading us homeward. Help us, Lord, to pay attention to what is really important. Give us grace to worship thee, O Lord, as thou dost deserve. For Jesus' sake. Amen.